Kubernetes for humans.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our live episodes of Kubernetes for Humans podcast. With me at the show, we have today...
Joel Stutle.
Ashan Seriratpur.
And we're going to talk about their journey, basically, to Kubernetes, as always. Lesson learned, scars, and so on. So maybe if you can start by like talking a bit about yourself, just like giving us a bit of a background. Who are you? What do you do? And how did you go into Kubernetes to begin with?
Yeah, so my name is Ashan Seniratne. As I mentioned, I'm the product owner of a mobile cloud native automation team. So what we do in Swisscom is we are part of the mobile organization. Obviously, Swisscom is it's a large company. So within our organization, what we try to do is we are aiming to deploy the 5G core on Kubernetes because it comes as microservices and such in a cloud native way. So the main responsibilities within the team as well is to implement this framework. So it's on the right path to the cloud native, like the framework and such. So with that, I'll pass on to
Matt.
Yeah, I'm a DevOps engineer. I've been in platform engineering for a while now. I have a big infrastructure background, but then I moved more and more into the cloud native or Kubernetes area. So I have a quite broad background and also in platform engineering. I worked a bit, so and now we're really moving towards Kubernetes operators and automating as much as possible in the cluster, basically.
Okay, usually when people think about 5G, it's like edge, right, or not, like it's like antennas, or maybe share, what is 5G and how does it relate to Kubernetes, right? Like, why do I need Kubernetes while doing that? So share a bit about the history, maybe. What is it that you do and how does it relate to Kubernetes?
Yeah, so I think when we talk about 5G, it's mainly two areas. So one area is the radio access network, like the antennas, like the one thing that makes your cell phone say 5G, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's say so. Yeah,
that's being rolled out globally. That's in progress basically. But the other part is the core part, like the centralized deployments, where actually all the magic happens, like user management, authorization, authentication, mapping your SIM card to a profile and so on, all that stuff, and actually forwarding the data, forwarding the voice call. So there we see a trend going from like VMs. The 4G stack was basically built on VMs and moving to containers in 5G. So that's the evolution. And I mean, a while back, like 25 years ago, we had bare metal or custom hardware. So
is it something that is next to the antenna, or is it on some cloud or something like that? The operation that you have around that, is everything needs to be very close to the actual hardware, or it can be everywhere, like the code that you are deploying or the clusters?
So in terms of the antennas, right? We have thousands around these amount of numbers of the antennas. In terms of the core, there are only four data centers, for an example. So the role is for the antennas, it's more to provide the wireless the capability, and then as Joel mentioned, the core is more about doing the logic or the smartness within the core. So we had this transition from 4G to 5G, from VMs to the containers, and what's also important is the culture within the company, right? Because the way you operate the network within the 4G, it's quite different to how you move to.
Why? Why does it, it is a surprise. Why should someone, why is it a cultural thing to move from 4G to 5G?
Yeah, it's, the shift is also about having a bit more a software mindset within the company. Within our organization, we are pretty much vendor driven. So, we don't write the software application of the network functions like the 5G core. So we are a bit more like a software integrator during the 4G, 3G worlds. Now we are making a bit more sense, thinking like a white box approach. So doing the integration by ourselves and also implementing the surrounding frameworks to do the automation.
How much time did it took you guys to adopt Kubernetes? I guess that telco in general maybe move slow, but maybe I'm wrong here. So how much time did it take you from saying, oh, like this Kubernetes technology looks cool, until it's like really spread out across the stack?
So, I mean, for the 5G core, it's taking us 2 years, 3 years now.
Quite fast, like 2 years is...
But we're still ongoing, and we didn't solve all the problems. And mainly, I mean, it's a mixture from vendors not being ready, vendors not being able to actually deliver the features. So they had to rebuild quite a few of, many of their software projects. They needed to rewrite them. And they're just not ready yet. That's one thing. And the other thing is really building the entire automation around it, because it might not be what you think, because the average cloud native app, you have a container image and you have a config map or a secret, and that's your app. But unfortunately with telco apps, it's much more complex, because you have additional configuration steps, and this adds a lot of complexity. So it's not actually the Kubernetes stack itself or the know-how build-up for Kubernetes. I mean, that's one aspect for sure, but it's also the question how to integrate it. And the entire industry doesn't have a plan right now, a clear plan forward on how to solve these issues. So yeah, so we're trying to push forward and trying to innovate and trying to build solutions that could work, that hopefully others could also profit from eventually.
Yeah. That's cool. It's like a really bleeding edge, you're saying, around the 5G, using Kubernetes for everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. I guess, like as Joel mentioned, it's also like the with the telco apps, you have this configuration or the lifecycle aspect. So it's all the changes that you do to these workloads once you deploy. This configuration makes these network services and such. So the big challenge is, how do you make it a bit more cloud native? Because you have all this out of band Kubernetes operations. So how do you make them to the Kubernetes layer? So you have the reconciliation and all the cool things added to the lifecycle aspects. You know?
What's the scale of this? Like, I guess quite big, but...
So we are not live yet on the 5G core, but we intend to go live towards the end of the year or early next year. The scale would be 4 data centers or 3-4 data centers. I would say 80 blades per site. Or I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the scale, but it's millions of users. So Switzerland is not a huge country, but still we're talking about 9 million citizens. So
it's like
roughly 9 million users. Yeah.
And everything needs to be very low latency and fault tolerance, I guess, right?
Yes, for sure. And Switzerland probably has one of the best, I don't know globally, but one of
Let's
the best mobile networks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, in terms of reliability, in terms of stability when you're in a call and handovers of antennas and all that stuff, it's really nice. At the question you have to ask earlier about latency, that's not so much of a problem in Switzerland. So one of the main use cases of 5G that is being promoted is latency, but that's not really an issue in Switzerland.
Because everything is like small, the country itself is
pretty small. So we're talking about 1 or 2 milliseconds that you could gain, which is super expensive when you think building data centers, right?
No, but that makes sense given the country. So maybe like share with me like the biggest like drawback that you had in this adoption. Like, what was the biggest mistake or the biggest hurdle that you need to overcome, not necessarily even a mistake?
You mean within the 5G core?
With migration to Kubernetes, so like the 5G core.
Yeah, I think it's two aspects, I would say. The first is, again, the lifecycle of the core or the network, right? So with that, there are ways of doing it, which is outbound Kubernetes again. Like, you have this surrounding tools, which is outside to the Kubernetes layer. So what we figure out in the end is Kubernetes is doing the orchestration as well. And then also on top of that, you have another bunch of tools doing the same thing. So it added a lot of operational overhead. And now we are in the journey to bring them to the Kubernetes layer by extending the Kubernetes API. The other side to the story is also looking into the public cloud aspects. So that's also a journey we are exploring. And as Yoel mentioned at the start, the application seems to be cloud native as well. If not, we won't have the true benefits of using the hyperscalers and such, right? So.
And maybe one important aspect is that this application is huge. So we're talking about 2,000 pods in a dev environment,
isn't it?
So that's the size of a small deployment, right? And what comes with it is that we cannot easily do blue-green deployment, canary deployments, and stuff like that. On one side, the software doesn't support it, but on the other hand, when you talk about 2,000 pods,
So what do you do?
Scale issue. That's the big question, and we're still figuring it out, right? One idea is that the application itself is able to do in-service upgrades, so you actually the pods survive, and you just change configuration or change parameters. The other idea is really do blue-green deployments. That's the other option. I mean, it's modular. It's not that one app is 2,000 pods, right? So you can still have a life cycle within specific pieces, yeah.
Is there any telco sharing committee or whatever? Like, I guess the problem that you are facing have some similarities in other countries, right? Like adopting 5G. Is there a specific standard or something special around globally, 5G solution for Kubernetes?
Yeah, so I would talk about the cloud native aspects of it. So there's a working group within Linux Foundation and also within CNCF. Quite many operators are involved with it, as well as Swisscom. One major thing that we achieved last year was towards the end of the year. We co-authored this white paper called Transformation Journey to the Cloud Native Application. So it covers all the requirements that a cloud native network function needs to have or adhere to these principles. And also there are other standards like European telecommunications standards and such.
What does it?
And there are also communities, not only standards, right? There is the Linux Foundation Networking, which brings out Nephio as well. Nephio is a project to tackle exactly these topics. Then there is a few folks at Nokia that also push forward on this regards. We actually demo a tool this afternoon.
Huh? Which tool?
It's called SDC. It's fairly new. And it's a tool that covers config management
for telco
workloads. Yeah. It's a tool from the initially developed by Ericsson people, by Nokia people, sorry. So there are a few initiatives pushing forward. So yeah.
Oh, sounds cool. So maybe one last question. Any prediction around the space, around Kubernetes? Let's say we'll meet 2 years from now in KubeCon, I don't know, Switzerland or something like that, Zurich. Where do you think the industry is going in that regard or in general?
So, I mean, what I wish for is really that we will work on user experience and simplicity, because I still think as of today, Kubernetes is super complex. You need, on one side, you need to know a lot in order to be able to tame it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And on the other side, the developer experience is not that good, actually. I mean, compared to other tools. So I wish that we see better user experience in the future.
Yeah, I think I agree with Yoel. It's about simplicity. I would also like to add security aspects. And also, how do we build reliable and sustainable applications? Because there's also a big push from Swisscom side on energy efficiencies such, green energy. So, I would like to see those sort of things in the
future. Okay, super cool. So I think with that, I think we'll pretty much covered most of the things. I know that you guys have a talk, right? But I think until we'll air it, so I'm not sure if people will be able, but I guess there will be a recording try to have a YouTube link for that. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And enjoy your KubeCon.
Thank you.
Kubernetes for Humans.